Hi, I'm Joel Sedekase. Welcome to the Apologetics Foundations course. I'm very excited to be here with you today, and I want to start by telling you a little bit about myself. I am a former pastor and the grateful husband of Elisa and father of four kids. We live here in the Tri-Cities or Fox Valley area of Illinois. And as I mentioned, I was a pastor. And when I was a pastor, I saw that there was a great need for materials and training to help everyday believers to articulate, share, and defend their Christian faith. And you know, I saw this need in my own life, the need for equipping, being able to answer the big questions of life, especially through the health crises of one of our children. Our son Lucas was diagnosed with leukemia when he was 10 months old. This was back in 2015. And in 2019, on Valentine's Day, Lucas went into heart failure. And this is after spending 2 years on chemo and then relapsing and then spending another year and a half on chemo. And we came to experience the Lord's provision during our time in the hospital, both from 2015 up to 2019. And then most of 2019, he spent in the hospital. And we were able to, because we are believers, we were able to delve deeply into the well of Scripture for wisdom and comfort and insight. And we saw that there were other believers in the hospital as well who were going through similar situations as we were. And they too were able to face down their trials in some really amazing, remarkable ways. And so I saw this need for being able to go to the Scriptures and gain answers to the biggest problems of life. You know, why is this happening to me? Did I do something wrong? Does God still love me? Is God still with me, etc.? And when you're in the hospital like that, you're surrounded by non-Christians. So there's a need for Christians to be able to go into areas with non-Christians, of course, and to be able to articulate our faith and to share what we believe and why we believe it. And we get these answers from the Bible. You know, the Bible is the most important book to Christians. And really, it is a library of 66 different books written by about 40 authors in three languages over a period of 1,500 years. And the Bible tells one unified story. It tells the story of God's plan to save a people for himself through his son, Jesus Christ. This is the most important message in the world. For us as Christians, there's nothing more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. But have you ever stopped to think about how many of your neighbors do not believe the gospel? Today in America, only 4% of our neighbors actually have a biblical worldview. Today, over 200 million Americans are unchurched, and 2.8 million Americans leave the American church every year, making us today the fourth largest unchurched nation in the world. In 10 states, as I speak, 96% of the population are unreached and unchurched. So why is this significant? Well, it's significant because Ephesians 2 says that everyone without Jesus is dead in their trespasses and sins. They are children of wrath. They are far off from God and from his people. This is a desperate situation. It's desperate. But I don't believe it's hopeless. I serve with an organization called the Think Institute. You probably know that. That's why you're here. And we equip believers to explain, share, and defend the truth of the Christian message and to pass on the faith to the younger generation. And I'll tell you more about our organization as we go. But one of the major things that we focus on as the Think Institute is apologetics. So let me define apologetics for you. Apologetics is the discipline of defending the truth of the Christian message. Now, this word apologetics comes from 1 Peter 3:15. And 1 Peter 3:15 is our key verse. In that verse, it says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you." 1 Peter 3:15. We need apologetics because we live in a world where so many of our neighbors do not know the Lord. And it's our job, it's our commission to go to our neighbors and share the gospel. But when we share the gospel, what's going to happen? There's going to be pushback. There's going to be a clash of worldviews. And so we've got to be ready not only to share the gospel, but also to explain why we believe, to answer questions about the Christian worldview, the Bible's teachings, and the various aspects of Christian faith. That discipline of defending our faith, of answering these questions, that is apologetics. And the word apologetics comes from this verse here in 1 Peter 3, and it comes from a Greek word, apologia. Apologia means a defense. It is what a defendant would give when he was in court. He would stand up and he would give his apologia. It's where we get our word apology from, which kind of makes sense if you think about it. If you're giving an apology, you're explaining, hey, I'm sorry. Here's why I did what I did. And it's, of course, where we get our word apologetics. So today, in this lecture, we're going to talk about the biblical basis for apologetics. And what we're going to do as we look at the biblical basis for apologetics is we are going to look at three things. There are three ideas that you need to know. One, the two ways of doing apologetics. Two, we're going to talk about which one is better of the two ways. And then we're going to look at one practical thing that you can start doing this week in order to improve your apologetics. So, two ways, which one's better, and one practical step that you can take. So, first, let's look at the two ways of doing apologetics. And the two ways of doing apologetics, the two methods are skeptic first apologetics and scripture first apologetics. Skeptic first and scripture first. So we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start by looking at skeptic first apologetics. Now, skeptic first apologetics, this approach begins with the unbeliever. It begins with the skeptic. Now, when we say skeptic just means doubter. Here's how this works. Let's say one day you decide to share the message of the Bible, the gospel, with your neighbor. You've been praying for an opportunity to share the gospel, and now the opportunity has come. And so you speak up, you get in a spiritual conversation, and you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you? No, I'm not. And your neighbor tells you this. He says, I believe in Jesus. If you can prove that God is real, but here's the catch, you can't use the Bible because I don't believe that the Bible is an authority. What do you do? So what's going on here in this scenario? Your neighbor has different presuppositions or basic assumptions than you do. As a Christian, your basic assumptions are that God is real, the Bible is true, Jesus is Lord. What God has revealed to us in the Bible about himself, about the world around us, about what it means to be human, about ourselves. These are the basic presuppositions or assumptions that form and shape the foundation and basis of our worldview. The Bible, or God's written word, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That's Psalm 119:105. This is the foundation of what we believe. It's through the Bible that we interpret all of life, all of reality, and that includes our apologetics encounters. So what's going on here is that your neighbor doesn't have these foundational presuppositions. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, when we talk about every good work certainly includes evangelism and apologetics. So scripture is what we need in order to share our faith and in order to defend our faith. The truth of the Bible, therefore, is not a conclusion that we are climbing up towards, as if we start from some neutral, godless position, and we're going to weigh the evidence and climb our way up. for us as Christians, the truth of the Bible is our most fundamental presupposition. Now, your neighbor wants you to abandon that presupposition. He wants you to choose another starting point and to prove that God is real on his own terms, on the skeptic's terms. He wants you to go skeptic first. Do you see why we call it skeptic first? Now, if you were to take a skeptic first approach, you would believe you would take his claims, the skeptic's claims, at face value. So he says, I don't believe the Bible. You can't use it. You've got to find neutral ground, neutral territory for us to both stand on. And you've got to find me evidence, find me proof, et cetera, et cetera. So in this first style of apologetics, this is what you would attempt to do. And here's how this is going to play out. And I know this from many experiences. We call this the cycle of doom. It starts with the non-Christian saying, I just need evidence. You give me evidence, I'll believe. You accept the unbeliever's claims. You say, all right, you just need evidence. I believe that. I believe that you need evidence. Then you go and you research the evidence. And guess what? You find a ton of evidence because there is a ton of evidence out there. You find anything from archaeology to science and philosophy, and you study the rock layers. You look at the fine-tuning of creation and the irreducible complexity of the human eye, and you bring all these things back to your neighbor. But then as you present the evidence, your neighbor looks at it and he goes, I don't accept that. That's not scientific enough. I remain unconvinced. I need, guess what? More evidence. And so what do? You accept the claims and you go around and around ad nauseum, ad infinitum. We call this the cycle of doom. And guess what? Can God use this approach? Sure. But because your neighbor is starting from faulty presuppositions, everything that he interprets is going to be through those presuppositions, just like everything that you interpret is coming through your lens of from the Bible, your the foundation of your worldview, the lens that you look at everything through. Here's what I want to persuade you of, encourage you with today in this lesson, in this lecture. Do not fall into that trap. Yes, you should absolutely sharpen your skill at finding evidence, defending what you believe 100%, but you should not abandon the belief that you have in Scripture in order to defend it. Don't abandon your Christian faith in order to defend your Christian faith. There is a better way. So now what we're going to do is we are going to look at the second way of apologetics. Oh, this is our reaction when we go through the cycle of doom. This is where you're going to end up feeling like you just want to pound your head into the wall. But now we're going to look at scripture-first apologetics. The scripture-first method, scripture-first apologetics, this is also known as presuppositional apologetics. In the scripture-first approach, you begin not with the claims of the skeptic, but with the Bible itself. You believe the Bible. You take the teachings of Scripture and you act as if they are true, which, of course, by the way, they are. And you take the Bible as true, even if they contradict what your neighbor is telling you. In this method of apologetics, you let Scripture tell you what is true about the unbeliever, about the world around you, about what it means to be human, about the self, about what your unbelieving neighbor already knows and what he is doing with that knowledge that he already knows. We're going to talk more about what non-Christians do with knowledge in the next lecture. But you view the whole conversation through the lens of Scripture. This is Scripture-first apologetics. So in Proverbs 1:7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you're going to believe that. Romans 1:20 says that God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. You're going to believe that, even if your neighbor disagrees and he says, no, I really don't believe. Scripture, not the skeptic, must be the starting point. Scripture, not the skeptic, must be the starting point. This is Scripture First Apologetics. So skeptic first methods, the primary tools of skeptic first apologetics are reason, evidence, and emotion. The goal is to show that Christianity is reasonable to believe. We might use philosophy to get there. It's to show that Christianity is the most probable explanation for the facts. We're going to start from neutrality. We're going to just look at the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And we're going to explain reality using those facts. And we're going to say Christianity is the most probable explanation. Or we're going to use emotion. And we're going to say Christianity will satisfy you in a way that no other religion can. Whereas Scripture First apologetics, the primary tool of Scripture First apologetics is Scripture. No surprise there. The goal of Scripture First apologetics is to show that Christianity is absolutely true. Reason and evidence and emotion only make sense if the Christian worldview is already true. So we need to now talk about which method is better. Which method, Scripture First or skeptic first, is better? Well, because the Bible is our foundation, that means that there is nothing more fundamental for us than the Bible. Think about this. If somebody were to ask you, hey, why do you believe the Bible? And you say, well, I believe the Bible because the evidence has shown me that the Bible is true. What's your real foundation at that point? It's the evidence. Or if someone tells you, hey, you don't really believe the Bible, do you? Why do you believe the Bible? And you say, I believe the Bible because I have looked at the philosophical arguments and I found that it is reasonable to believe the Bible. So because the Bible accords with my reason, I believe the Bible. What is your real foundation at that point? It's reason. Or if someone says, why do you believe the Bible? And you say, I believe the Bible because when I read the Bible, I get a deep sense of peace and closeness with God, and I'm deeply satisfied and happy and joyful because of what the Bible says. What is the foundation for your belief at that point? You say, I believe the Bible because my emotion. Your emotion is your foundation. So as Christians, we have a problem with all of these, at least we should, because Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. If we say, I know Christianity is true because I feel it, or because my reason tells me, or because I've weighed the evidence, then what we're really doing is we're trusting in our reasoning, our emotions, our ability to analyze the facts, the evidence. But that's ultimately relying on man. It's relying on myself. But we are not the foundation. You see, what we're going to find out in the course of this course, of this Apologetics Foundation course, is that evidence, reason, and emotion only make sense when you presuppose, when you start with Scripture. So it's God's word that gives the proof of evidence, the reasonability of reason, and the satisfaction of emotion. Scripture says, test everything, hold fast to what is good. Evidence is good. Scripture says, come now, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18. So reason is good. Luke 24:32 talks about how Jesus caused the hearts of the disciples to burn within them. Yes, emotion is good, but these are not our foundations. So, what's the answer? The answer, of course, is that the Scripture First method is best. Scripture needs to shape the way that we view our apologetics encounters. Scripture is not only our foundation, but Scripture is our number one weapon, our tool in apologetics encounters. Think about it. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word in that verse, in the original language for sword, is it's not a big broad sword like a barbarian would use. It's a short tactical sword, double-edged, that almost worked more like a scalpel as you thrust it forward and slice apart your enemies. Scripture is like that. Scripture is a two-edged sword. Any way you use it, it is going to make its incision, cutting even to the bones and the marrow, to the soul and the spirit. Scripture is our foundation, and it's our number one weapon in apologetics. So what that means is the scripture first method has to be best. Now, what we need to do is we need to talk about one practical step that you can start taking this week in order to improve your apologetics. Based on the fact that the scripture first method is best, what can you do starting right now in order to improve your scripture first apologetics? Here it is. Study your Bible. I know, earth-shattering, right? You were expecting something maybe more profound, maybe more detailed. I'm going to break this down and get into more detail for you. But the number one thing that you can do to improve your apologetics is to study the Bible. Now, specifically, the reason why you need to study the Bible is because it's simple, powerful, and necessary. But if you can learn what the Bible says in a few key areas, you can dramatically improve your ability to defend your faith. And those key areas are logic, morality, science, and the gospel. That is the true gospel. If you can study what the Bible says about those issues, you will go leaps and bounds forward in your apologetics. Okay, now, why logic? Well, here's why. Because people make objections with regard to logic all the time. Anytime someone says the Bible has contradictions, that is a logical argument. Morality, I mean, this one's very obvious. People look at scripture and they say, the God of the Bible is immoral. Or they'll say, the teachings of the Bible lead to an immoral society, or Christians are bigoted, or what have you. Those are moral arguments. Science is another one that is very common. People will look at the Bible and they'll say, the Bible does not accord with science. We know that human beings evolved, etc. Miracles can't happen. Those are unscientific. Those are science arguments. And then the gospel. You need to know what the gospel is when you're dealing with atheists and the woke, but also with any kind of Christian cult. Jehovah's Witnesses, Latter-day Saints, aka Mormons, anybody who, Roman Catholics, I don't know if I'd call them a cult. And to be fair, there are many Roman Catholics who are believers. But the Roman Church officially anathematizes or excludes from the kingdom the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone. So we need to know what the Bible actually says about these issues. And where do we start in the Bible for these things? Well, with logic, I suggest you start with John chapter 1, verse 1, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Look at how Jesus Christ is the Logos who holds the world together. Look at how in Jesus Christ, all things consist and he upholds the world, keeping the laws of logic consistent. Or morality. You can go to Mark 10, 18, which talks about how only God is good. You can go to Isaiah 33, 22, which talks about how God is the ultimate moral authority. For science, start with the beginning, man. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You at least need to know what the first and second chapter of Genesis say about how the world came into being. And then you can go to Proverbs 25, 2, and really the whole book of Proverbs, which talks about how it's God's joy to uncover a matter, to cover a matter, but it's the honor of a king to disclose that matter, to dig it up, to investigate. Science is God's idea. And then for the gospel, the two best passages that I could recommend that you go to would be Luke 24, 44 through 48. That should say Luke 24, 44 through 48, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 10. You check that out, you'll get a clear, concise summary of the Bible, of the gospel. Let me tell you some other resources that you can go to if you want to sharpen and hone your apologetics. CARM is an excellent source. That is the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. It's run by Matt Slick. I don't know Matt personally, but I've benefited greatly by his work over the years. I mean, probably over the decades. He's done incredible work. Got Questions is another one. You go to gotquestions.org and they've got like 250,000 questions that they've answered. I've had Shay Hoodman, who runs Got Questions. I've had him on my show before. We actually talked about Roman Catholicism. It was a really good episode. And then let me tell you something else. This is an invaluable resource. openbible.info/topics. It is a Bible-based internet research search engine. You type it in and it will tell you, it'll search the internet. It's really genius. And it'll tell you what verses people are using online in order to discuss that particular topic. It's really amazing. And then, of course, you can go to thethink.institute. We've got scores of articles and podcast episodes and resources in our store that you can download for free. All kinds of resources to help you hone your apologetic craft. We also have an apologetics resource directory. If you go onto the website and you find that, you'll find hundreds of resources there. All right. Look for these topics during your daily devotions. As you're reading in scripture, look for, if you come across a passage about how a man can be saved, if you come across a passage about Jesus Christ holding the universe together, or about God's reasonableness, take a look at those passages. Write them down in a notebook. Start an apologetics notebook and keep track of what the Bible says about these certain key doctrines. And you can make time before bed, when you wake up in the morning. But the important thing is make the time, see how the Lord blesses you as you pursue apologetics through scripture. But the main point here is that apologetics is your job. Nobody else is going to defend the faith to your neighbor in that conversation. You can't tag somebody else in, bring them in, and now you get to sort of sit back while somebody else defends the faith. The closest you're going to get to that is bringing in scripture. Let God define your faith and defend your faith for you. But you've got to do it. I've got to do it. When we get into these discussions, we have to be prepared, ready to defend our faith. Thank you for watching this lecture from the Hammer and Anvil Society. The Hammer and Anvil Society is a ministry of the Think Institute. We are a Christian teaching and outreach organization that seeks to help believers to explain, share, and defend the truth of the Christian message. And we do that specifically by building up families through equipping men, dads, to lead their families in the Lord. That is the purpose of the Think Institute, and it's the mission of the Hammer and Anvil Society. So I'm glad that you're here. If you would like to learn more about what full membership in the Hammer and Anvil Society looks like, or any of the resources that we offer, or if you'd like to bring this kind of training to your local church, shoot me a message. I would love to talk with you about that. Next up, we're talking about how everyone knows God. So stay tuned. Thanks for being with us. And Lord willing, I'll see you in the next one.